This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and joining me is a true renaissance man. In addition to him being a runner, an author, an entrepreneur, he is also a doting grandfather, a loving husband, and a fantastic father. Also is an entrepreneur, as I mentioned before, also a swell dresser, and also a baseball awards presenter, and also Eddie Papowski's number one fan. He is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. He is Tom Raffio. Tom, how are you?
Thank you, Jay. I got to bring you everywhere I go now that the world's opened up again. I'm out almost every night, so I need you to do my intros. And
okay,
we won't test our guest as to who is Eddie Papowski, but maybe for a future show. So our last guest, we had Tori Barabee, who is the program manager at Ollie at UNH, which is educational related, and more on education. I'm so fortunate and honored to have with me today Dr. Jennifer Gillis, who's the superintendent for the Manchester School District. Jennifer, thank you for joining us. I know you're really busy. You would not think so, given that it's summer, but I know that the summertime is now compressed and that you have lots to do. So why don't we start with your background? I know I've followed your career. I'm so happy that you have landed finally the position of superintendent of Manchester School District. I think the timing was perfectly great. But Dr. Jennifer, tell us your background and how you came to Manchester.
Sure, thanks for having me. I've wound up in Manchester. First of all, I was working in the brain injury field in Massachusetts for a decade, shifted out of that, and a bit ago was working in Goffstown in their school district. In 2014, hopped over to Manchester. I was the principal over at Southside and then assistant soup, and now I get the honor of being the superintendent of the largest district in the state of New Hampshire.
Awesome. And I know that there was a report recently, you know, that I read, and I'm quoting you, this progress is a great point of pride and it's a big step forward for our district. So tell us the progress towards your envisioning goals. And then and there's always, I know, like my business, it's a journey without a finish line. We all know that.
Right.
But I think we should also celebrate the victories and the progress today. So let's start there with what we should be proud of, and then we can talk about, you know, future goals.
Yeah, I would love to. So recently, our last school board meeting of the year, we reported out on updates on our strategic plan, our district goals, department goals, and school goals. As a quick reference, the district goals, we've satisfied 11 of the 17 already, with the last six being completed in August. That's a pretty nice marker to be able to say we're going to start a new school year with a clean set of goals moving forward. Our school goals are working on attendance, behavior, course completion, and we're starting to see some incremental gains in those areas. And a number of our goals in our strategic plan have been met. So we're eager to embark on that next evolution of what do those goals look like for the coming year. That work will be taking place this summer, and we'll be presenting to the board in August what goals for 23-24 are going to look like.
Awesome. And tell us, and people have heard about, you know, Manchester Proud, and there's another new leadership group called the Genesis Think Tank. And tell us how you engage in these other stakeholders that have the same, you know, level of passion for education, but maybe perhaps coming from, you know, a business perspective. Tell us how you interface with those organizations.
It's one of the absolute strengths of our district. When we can work collectively with businesses, partners out there in the city and the state, we're all working to develop workforce. And so if we are collectively minded, trying to make sure we're doing our best by our kids, then we're going to generate future workforces that are really well positioned to do well. It's a pleasure to work with the community partners that we have. And I would say they are always a value add, never a hindrance to our work. They absolutely help us excel in our goals.
Awesome. No, that's great to hear. And I'm pleased with all the businesses, you know, that are interested. Now, the pandemic basically is behind us. So during the height of the pandemic, maybe you were the assistant at that point. What did you learn from that period of time, which you're now applying on a go-forward basis now that the world's opened up again?
Oddly enough, and people ask me this question often, I learned the power of our city. I learned the power of the people in this city, and I learned that we have grit beyond what I think anybody gives us credit for. March 13th, we were told we were going to be shifting into remote learning, and by that following Tuesday, we were up. We had meals on buses. We had technology on buses. We had academics ready to roll. This city really renewed my faith in humanity as a whole, and so all of that has come forward into this new role.
That's awesome. That's great. And of course, your leadership is absolutely terrific. So we it's been a few weeks since high school graduations. What does anything in particular stand out from this class? Obviously, the resiliency part of it, but anything else that stands out from this particular graduating class?
Yeah, I think the word I would call on for them would be calm. I stood there with them, and I have these moments where I get to stand in the middle of the graduating classes as we roll each school through their delivery of their diplomas. And every year, every school, I get this moment to stand and look at them. And this year, they were just so calm. They looked like they were so readily positioned to do great things once they left our schools. They left me feeling really, really proud of where they had achieved and where they were looking to go. I would like to add, we've got a number, I think the number ended up being 18 of our students going into the military. We had plenty of students going into career already, and then we have a number of students going into college and university. And this year, we're actually just fine-tuning the number, but we had a little bit of a bubble of students heading off to Harvard. So my heart was full that day watching them. And I think anybody kind of tracking our district, those are the moments that we really get to shine.
Yeah, I noticed that. I'm a Harvard grad from a million years ago. And they give us statistics from time to time. And I was going to mention it. So congratulations. That's really terrific. Of course, my wife would say, like, I couldn't get into Harvard today, but I did back then. So so as you kind of, I know it's been a couple of years now, but did anything surprise you when you become the superintendent? Obviously, you were the assistant. You'd been around the block a lot. But when you're actually the superintendent, was anything newsworthy or surprising when you took on the position? Obviously, there's more interface, you know, with the public officials as one example. But anything else that came as a learning for you?
I think two things. I think one, I quickly recognized that we were very systems lean. And then as that was becoming really, really solid in my thinking, I also became very clearly aware that we have a ton of support from department heads across the city, community partners, building level leaders, district level leaders. Everybody was looking to pull weight and move us to that next level. I think everybody was tired coming off the pandemic. And I think the collective feeling here is we're tired of being described in a negative light. We're looking to really show the state, the nation, what it is we're about, and people were ready to start to move.
That's awesome. And you're homegrown. I mean, you've been a principal, you've been an assistant principal, you've worked at another school district, worked at another state. I'm assuming all of those experiences have helped you in your leadership position.
Absolutely. Every day when we make decisions from this office, I try to put myself back into how would this feel as a assistant superintendent? How would this feel as a building level leader? How would this feel if I was the teacher in the classroom? And so there's so many different filters I apply when we're making decisions that I think the decisions are a bit stronger because I've walked in very different shoes over the path of my career.
Well put. When you were growing up, did you think that you would be in education your whole life, and then in particular in administration?
So I love that question, and I'm kind of laughing because my mom and dad are both educators. And as I grew up, they kept saying, you'd be great in education. And I fought it really, really hard. I was not going into the family business. And lo and behold, here I sit. My mom was an elementary teacher and my dad was a high school principal. And now I got the position just to sit just above my dad. So that's some good bragging rights at the Thanksgiving dinner table.
Oh my God. No, it's great. I mean, I have a big smile. I was so happy when you were awarded the position all through merit. And I knew that you would do a great job, and any business leaders, you know, that I encounter and we talk about, you know, you made a presentation to one of our CEO groups that you call the Genesis Think Tank. And of course, everybody was, you know, super impressed, because the other thing that I think you brought to the table is beyond the passion and the know-how, but you're also data driven, right? I mean, you give us a lot of metrics, and tell us how that kind of came into your life.
So data helps us tell the story, good, bad, or ugly. And it also gives us benchmarks. So if I know where we're starting and where we're trying to reach, I know how to help the teams try to move in the direction to actualize the goals. If we move in a way that's void of any of those data points, it's really tough to show success and or shift to do better.
Love it. And that's, and we call that in our business, you are what we measure. And of course, you hope you're measuring the right stuff, and the use of SMART goals, strategic, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-based. Jay, why don't you give us the Manchester School District website, and then we'll carry on.
Will do. It's mansd.org. That's that simple. Man, M-A-N-S-D, capital letters, sd.org. And we have Jennifer Gillis. She is the superintendent of the Manchester School District. And believe it or not, folks, yes, school districts and superintendents and the like, their season never ends. The students may, but not for the superintendents and the teachers. They got a little bit of break, but not too much, because they got to plan ahead for the following year, which is the 2023-2024 school year, so that come August or September, they're raring to go, ready to go, smooth transition, and the like. This week's guest, as I mentioned, Jennifer Gillis, the superintendent of Manchester School District, on this edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. We're going to take a short break and then come right back and talk more about not just the school district, but also what it takes for a superintendent to kind of get the school year going for the next year, and among other topics as well, on Northeast Delta Dental Radio, right here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, alongside Tom Raffio, president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And this week's guest on Northeast Delta Dental Radio is Jennifer Gillis. She is the superintendent of the Manchester School District. You can log on to mansd.org for a lot more information there, and having a discussion about the school system as well and the upcoming 2023-2024 school year. So take it away.
Thanks, Jay, and thanks, Dr. Gillis, for, I know you're really busy giving me this time. So when I was chair of the State Board of Education for many years and on the board for many years, there was always the yin and the yang of, you know, decentralized, you know, local control. I mean, the good part of that is the local control. The hard part of that is if you're trying to, you know, do something with a, you know, statewide scope, you know, the state board, you know, whether it was the Common Core and Common Core, you know, science standards or whatever, but you could sort of come out with guidelines, but ultimately, you know, it had to be approved at the local level. So what's your cut of, I mean, obviously you have your own board and what you have to get done, but what's kind of your cut on, you know, the sort of the local control angle, you know, in New Hampshire?
Sure. So I think we've done one very new approach recently. We started an education legislation committee of the board, and that committee has been heavily leaning into bills and process, and that has gotten our voice a lot more present up at the state level. And I think that in turn brings information back and forth. So we're talking up to the state's talking to us, and those communications are going back and forth. I think we're positioning ourselves in a much better place to be able to share what the reality looks like in Manchester.
Awesome. And you're a positive person. I don't think someone in education can help but be positive, because you know what I know, which is that while certainly there are the struggles, we know issues relating, you know, to food insecurity and drug addiction, et cetera. But we also know what a beautiful future we have, you know, with the diversity we have. So what brings your job this hope and joy?
So anybody in the office would know that if I disappear, I have likely found myself out in a school hanging out with kids. Joy for me comes from getting back out, hanging out with them, letting them tell me how their learning is taking place, letting them show me what their learning looks like. Maybe I play a game in the gym with them because it's just a lot of fun to just be a kid for a little bit of the day. So I think joy comes for me in a couple of different ways. Spending time with our students, seeing our staff actualize goals that they've put forward, and then seeing them give me that feedback, the pride that sits in their eyes and on their face. And then when we see parents loop back and tell us, you know, you gave me this advice, it worked. Or we have a partnership working in the city, and that all of a sudden takes great strides forward. So I think for me, it's really being present and listening and paying attention and recognizing those little moments that are really true wins.
Yeah, and that was my favorite part of being involved with the State Board of Education, was when we would have different meetings where some of the meetings were on the road, and you would see the children, you know, in action. And, you know, I remember one of the times we were in the Manchester and seeing all the different languages, you know, that were spoken, and how the teachers, you know, were so passionate, and how you have such great, you know, principals, you know, working for you. I mean, Hillside Middle School, Brendan, he and I go way back, and I can't believe, you know, the passion that he has, and the fact that you have a team of teachers and principals, you know, that have, you know, maintained that passion despite, you know, COVID, as well as, you know, these other, you know, sometimes, you know, economic and other challenges. So how do you keep going, knowing that, you know, that, you know, there are some economic challenges, and there are these socioeconomic challenges that we're all faced with. So what keeps you going, and what worries you at night?
So what keeps me going is the reality that I have the privilege of serving in this role. I don't take it lightly, and I really strive to make sure that the decisions we make on a daily basis have a positive impact on student outcomes. I'm keenly aware that the healthier we are as a district, the healthier we are going to be as a city as a whole and as a state. So what keeps me going is, I think, that eternal optimism of what's next and how do we keep surpassing past benchmarks or past goal marks. What keeps me up at night is the same thing. I know the heavy weight of a district of this size. We are the largest in the state, and we are incredibly diverse. And with that comes the responsibility of how do we make sure we're equitably serving all of our students every day, and how are we giving them pathways or opportunities so that when they leave us, they are well positioned to be really thriving community members.
Those are two awesome points. You know, one, that as the Manchester school system goes, it's better for society as a whole, in not only Manchester, but New Hampshire, because one of the reasons why Manchester Proud got underway was because we were having trouble getting, you know, executives and other employees, you know, to, you know, live and work in Manchester because of whatever perceived or real concerns about the school system. And of course, you know, with a school system with a great reputation and a great leader, that's going to make employment opportunities, you know, more vibrant, and people will want to settle here. So it's just, you know, terrific, you know, how you put that. And then of course the, you know, the responsibilities that we have to make sure that we support, you know, equity and inclusion with, you know, with the diverse population. So that's two hugely important noble goals that I know that you're striving for. One of the items in your report that I thought was interesting was this high school, middle school, elementary configuration, 3-4-12 model, I think it's called. Tell us what that is.
So you're talking about our long-term facility planning project, and we know that a number of our buildings in the city are well past useful life. And so it was time to take a look. It was time to really understand what made sense for us. Enrollment numbers have shifted over the years, and so we've got some buildings that are sitting heavy with enrollment, some that are sitting a little bit leaner. So it was just time. Last spring, we brought forward a proposal to go to a 3-4-12 model, so 3 high schools, 4 middle schools, and 12 elementary schools. I am really getting excited because in August, we're going to be bringing forward some updates to the community. What does that really look like? So just a reminder, we've been focusing on what are we going to do with Wilson Elementary School first? How are we going to get the rest of our middle schools, being Hillside and McLaughlin, into the 5-8 model? How do we top off Southside and Parkside, who are already in the 5-8 model? And then what could a new high school siting look like? So August is going to be a big month for us with giving a lot of information out to the community of the research, recommendations, and opportunities that we have to explore.
Yeah, it's interesting how the shifting. When my kids were growing up, this was before the Bedford High School. I mean, West was thriving and overpopulating, and things shift. And it is great that you're taking a look at the demographics as well as looking at the local businesses that want to help out. So if you were just to pick what is the proudest moment from this past school year, what would it be?
I think the fact that we were able to get ourselves grounded back into systems, and the big one I'll reference will be focus first on that strategic plan, district goals, department goals and school goals. I think getting everybody moving with that same page of music, understanding we're all moving together to try to actualize goals, for me was a huge lift. The strategic plan was approved in February of 2020, and it didn't really get a lot of light of day until I came on board and we dusted that doc off, and we really started to orient all of our work back into the strategic plan.
And you're going to have the ability for people in the community to kind of hear what's going on through these visioning sessions, correct?
Correct. Yep. We have actually our second set starts again tonight, and we'll be putting on our webpage a set of slides that will go through what the visioning sessions cover, and then also a survey. So anybody can hop on anytime and give their feedback into a virtual visioning session.
So here you are, you're entrenched, you're ready to roll. Do you talk to your mom and dad about work?
I do. It's kind of funny because they're a nice little reprieve for me. So they live out of state now, so I can escape every so often and just go sit. And it's funny because they pay attention more than I think sometimes I give them credit for. And every so often they'll give me this little nugget of information. I'm like, oh, if I apply that here, that's gonna fix something that's kind of spinning in my head. So yeah, it's kind of coming full circle.
It's great. It's great to have that sounding board. It really is. That's awesome. Great story. And again, it's great that all of the local businesses that are supporting you, and Manchester Proud, and the Genesis Think Tank, and David Rogers, et cetera. So, J Dog, why don't you give us the website? And Jennifer and I could go on for days, but we can't. And I knew she was going to be a tremendous success when she got the leadership position, and really happy for her and for the school and for the city.
Thank you. The website is mansd.org. That's mansd.org, the Manchester School District. And Jennifer Gillis, the superintendent of the Manchester School District, a guest this week on Northeast Delta Dental Radio, which is about to wrap up. We're going to have another edition next time here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. So fear not, we will be back with another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. For Tom Raffio, as well as Jennifer Gillis, I am J-Dog, and keep it tuned to the Pulse of New Hampshire for another edition next time of Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.